Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and accepting to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So today we continue living life with in our Living Life series with Live Life with Difficult People. On this Memorial Day weekend, I have a story that I think is appropriate for the holiday and the Sunday before Ascension. Louis Zamperini caught the attention of Americans in the 1940s and again in recent years with a biography written by Lauren Hillenbrand titled Unbroken, a World War II story of survival, resilience, and redemption. Later came the hit movie Unbroken. If you aren't familiar with the story, Louis had a troubled youth and decided to take up running. He became good enough to compete in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. When World War II broke out, he became a bombardier on a B-24 bomber. Louis and his fellow crewmen cheated death multiple times, but none more harrowing than after his plane went down in the Pacific Ocean. While most died in the crash, Zamperini and another airman survived a total of 47 days adrift on the ocean in a life raft. A third man survived the crash but died at sea. After being rescued from the water by enemy forces, both men became prisoners of war and sent to a Japanese POW camp. Louis endured constant brutality at the hands of a man referred to as the Bird. His real name was Matsuhiro Watanabe, and by all accounts, he was sadistically cruel and abusive. He terrorized the prisoners. He especially had it out for an Olympic athlete whom he regarded as his number one prisoner. Louis experienced worse treatment than the other prisoners. The Bird was so notorious in his abusiveness, he was listed number 23 on General MacArthur's list of the 40 most wanted war criminals in Japan after the war. However, after years of hiding from authorities and having been thought to have killed himself, he would never face trial for his actions. He died in 2003. The movie Unbroken does an excellent job of chronicling the trials that Zamperini experienced as a downed man adrift at sea. It vividly depicts his time in a hellish POW camp. It is an inspiring tale of how, with courage and determination, he persevered through it all. But the story doesn't end there. Unlike the book, the film does not depict the great struggle that followed Zamperini's return to the United States after the war ended and his prison camp was liberated. Louis was now married and was rather famous. He was, after all, a renowned athlete who came back to life. He's quoted, "Well, after being declared dead and finding that we'd crashed and survived the 47-day drift and nearly 2,000 miles, you get quite a bit of publicity." He went on speaking tours and was treated as a war hero he was. But despite outward appearances, Zamperini's life was falling apart. Louis was struggling to cope with his horrific experiences during his 2 years as a POW. The Bird was a constant figure in his nightmares. Zamperini found that he was, in many ways, still under the control and power of Watanabe. Filled with anger, anxiety, and hatred, Zamperini found solace in alcohol. I lost my spot. And partying. And he knew that he would eventually lose his family. Filled with anger and anxiety and hatred, Zamperini found solace in alcohol and concocting plans to return to Japan to murder the bird. This was the only way he felt he could be free of him. As he continued to withdraw into depression and alcoholism, he would lash out unpredictably. I got married, I had a little girl, and I continued to drink and continued to party. My wife refused to go with me. Pretty soon I found myself fading away to the point where I realized that I was in serious need of help. In 1949, Lewis grudgingly attended a Billy Graham concert at Crusade in Los Angeles at the urging of his wife. It was the first extended Crusade event that Graham ever held, and it was the one which propelled him to become a nationally known figure. After the first night he went, Lewis was upset and did not want to attend any similar events in the future. He recalled in an interview, "I got under conviction and I got mad because of the scriptures he read. I grabbed my wife and said, 'Let's get out of here. Don't ever bring me back to a place like this again.' But the next day, she persuaded me to go back. I said, 'Okay, I'll go under one condition. When this fellow says, every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm getting out.' She said, 'Fine.' However, he was talked into going to hear Graham preach the next night also. After again hearing of the forgiveness and salvation of Jesus Christ, Louis Zamperini gave his life to the Lord and was saved. This time, salvation was not from shark-infested waters or from the horrors of a POW camp. In Christ, Zamperini found eternal, life-changing salvation that would save his soul and rescue him from his downward spiral. The nightmares, which had been so frequent and so intense that Lewis came to fear going to bed, stopped. He poured his alcohol down the drain the night he was saved. Lewis Zamperini was a new creation in Christ. Newspapers across the country were reporting on the crusade, and many ran articles on Zamperini's conversion. When he returned a week later to speak to the crowd, he was quoted as declaring, "I have accepted Christ, and from now on, I am going to be an honest-to-God Christian." Just as he had promised when he was adrift and desperate at sea. Zamperini also dedicated his life to God. They say there are no atheists in foxholes. There are probably no atheists in life rafts either. "Now, as God leads, I am leaving my business work and planning to work with young people. I'd rather build character and win boys for Christ than build a fortune," Lewis said. He eventually started a camp for troubled youth called the Victory Boys Camp. He poured his life into serving God by helping boys and young men who were not unlike himself in his younger years. Amazingly, after his conversion, Zamperini's desire for vengeance left him completely. In fact, he forgave his former captors and later met with many of them. He greeted them warmly and shared the gospel with them, and many accepted Christ. In 1952, he went to Tokyo for a speaking engagement, and he got the opportunity to meet with prisoners at Sugamo Prison. That prison was filled with 850 Japanese war criminals. After speaking to the prisoners, Lewis had requested to meet with his former guards personally. He recalled the experience. I looked out, and I saw them coming down the aisle. And of course, I recognized each one of them vividly. I didn't even think of my reaction. I jumped off the stage, ran down, and threw my arms around them. Of course, they withdrew from me. They couldn't understand forgiveness. We went to the room, and there, of course, I continued to press the issue of Christianity. And all but one made a decision for Christ. One former Japanese soldier wondered, how could he forgive these men who had treated him so badly? Lewis responded, "Well, Mr. Sasaki, the greatest story of forgiveness the world's ever known was the cross." When Christ was crucified, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And I said, "It is only through the cross that I can come back here and say this, but I do forgive you." Then the soldier responded to the invitation to become a Christian. Lewis tried to meet with the bird, since he was still alive, but the bird refused to meet with him. "Whoever holds my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Jesus wants the disciples to remember all he has taught them. He wants them to continue to love and follow me, even after he is gone. If they do as he commands, he will show himself to them with the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, he tells them, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus knows the journey they are about to embark on will not be easy. He knows his followers will be in danger of being jailed or killed for spreading the good news. I think this scripture is so fitting for living life with difficult people. Unfortunately, human beings have not changed much since Christ walked the earth. And even though we are all made in God's image, humans are the only creatures that inflict pain and suffering on each other for the sake of pain and suffering. Not one of us has gotten through life without dealing with difficult people. Suffering can be as mild as an irritation caused by an annoying coworker, or a life-changing suffering due to the physical or mental abuse of a stranger, or worse yet, someone who is supposed to love us. Either one changes who we are. Either one comes with the risk of turning us into a difficult person. Love and forgiveness are the things spoken most of by Jesus. He commands us to love and obey. He doesn't suggest it. The journey of faith will never be an easy one. And we can't pick and choose the commands that we are to follow. "Take up your cross and follow me." In no way sounds easy. But the Lord promises that if we do just that, he will always walk with us. "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. The words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Is the cross that you bear keeping you from fully loving and obeying? Are you living with the scars of a difficult person that is causing you to be a difficult person? Are you withholding forgiveness and living with the consequences of that? Have you kept God at arm's length because it is easier and you think more satisfying to plot revenge, self-medicate with food or alcohol or drugs, or just lash out and try to make others feel as miserable as you do? Are you afraid that loving and forgiving will somehow make you seem weak, or that forgiveness somehow makes what was done to you not matter? God doesn't require us to forgive so that he can take delight in our struggle to do so. He requires us to forgive so we can be closer to him and he can be closer to us. He requires us to love and forgive so we can grasp the enormity of the love he has for us. Love so strong he sacrificed his own son for us. Love so strong that if we hold close these words, all I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I go back to Lewis and the rest of the story. He never did see the bird again, but he did write him a letter. To Mutsuhiro Watanabe, as a result of my prisoner war experience under your unwarranted and unreasonable punishment, my post-war life became a nightmare. It was not so much due to the pain and suffering as it was the tension of stress and humiliation that caused me to hate with a vengeance. Under your discipline, my rights, not only as a prisoner of war, but as a human being, were stripped from me. It was a struggle to maintain enough dignity and hope to live until the war's end. The post-war nightmares caused my life to crumble. But thanks to a confrontation with God through the evangelist Billy Graham, I committed my life to Christ. Love has replaced the hate I had for you. Christ said, "Forgive your enemies and pray for them." As you probably know, I returned to Japan in 1952 and was graciously allowed to address all the Japanese war criminals at Sugamo. I asked then about you and was told that you had probably committed harakiri, which I was sad to hear. At that moment, like the others, I also forgave you. And now I hope that you would become a Christian. We don't know. Lewis was such a perfect example of the great joy and peace we can all receive if we just obey the commands, love and forgive. On this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country, may we also remember every day the sacrifice Jesus made for us. Maybe even try to look at the difficult people in your life with new eyes. We don't know what they're going through. Remember the words Christ spoke from the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I send you with the words of John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen.